today is something very different than what Pastor Chris shared. I want to talk to you today about how to get out of the doghouse. And so for some reason, a lot of men know that better than women. I don't know if we're gifted in that area or not, that we seem to know that place. But no matter what age you are, you can have a trip to the doghouse. And if you look that up in the dictionary, it actually says that. It's not just a slang. It actually does talk about that, of what a doghouse is. You'll find that, yes, first of all, for a pet. But it also says, yes, it's an area of disfavor, a mild or temporary disfavor in your life. And so I want to talk to you, how do you get out of that doghouse? And so something very different today, but I trust that it will bless you, and hopefully it's going to help some people today as well. If you have the scriptures, 1 Peter 3, 8 to 12 is where we're going to go, and to put this together. 1 Peter 3, 8 to 12. So finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tender-hearted, keep a humble attitude, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. And this is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. May the Lord add his blessing to his word here this morning. Well, as I said, I wanted to follow up on that great theological message of last week and speak about another important subject. Because everybody here probably knows what it means to be in the doghouse. And it's a very real thing that actually happens. Relationships, as we think about relationships, have really taken a hit over these last few years. And then when COVID came along, took another hit. And whether you realize it or not, many people are struggling in their relationships. And that goes from marriages to families to singles to teenagers to children. There's struggles that are going on in every age group. And sometimes, you know, we do make mistakes. And we can contribute to our own struggles that we have. Sometimes we say things or we do things or we imply things. And once in a while, we may even do something that's stupid. And say something or do something stupid. I'm sure we've all been there a time or two or three or four or maybe a lot more. And I realize that some things that we do or say can be far more serious than others. Bad choices do have consequences that we will bear. But one of those consequences is the doghouse. And again, I'm not talking about that nice little house that you have for your pet dog, but a place that the dictionary actually refers to as a place of disfavor. A place of disfavor that is usually mild, but can be quite long, depending on the circumstances. It can be a night to more severe being weeks or months. And I think the part we need to really focus on is that it's temporary, and it will end. If only we could remember that during those times. Now, in a marriage, that doghouse can be a number of things. It can be the silent treatment. It can be the couch. It can be a spare bedroom. Or if things are really bad, you might find yourself sleeping at your parents' place or a motel. And there's other things that that means, but we'll keep it PG. Most of the times, the doghouse is a shorter span of time that we do endure, but as I say, can be longer depending on the circumstances. And in other relationships, it can be things where people avoid you, or people that refuse to talk to you, or where a relationship is totally broken off entirely. For youth and children, your dog hose might be that you're sent to your room, or you're being grounded, or with your friends. No TV, no car, no phone, no internet. And I know a lot of you think that's the end of the world. I'm thinking like, well, in our day, when you went to your room, there was nothing in there. There was no TVs, there was no nothing. And your toys were taken out of there too. So when you went to your room, there was nothing else to do but to think. And so if you think you have it tough now, that's, man, you got nothing. So there's all kinds of dog houses out there that we can be sent to, and they're not enjoyable times for anybody. Most are very serious at the moment, but usually mild, not always, temporary. But sometimes that can last, say, for quite a long time, depending on the seriousness of the situation. I know some. We had some relatives that he was kind of famous for getting into the doghouse. I like to come along. I like to tease. And sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad. And so when I knew they were in the doghouse, I would just get in there and just start teasing them. And the majority of times, they would start laughing, and he would get out of the doghouse. And so that was kind of good, but that sometimes could last for months where they wouldn't talk to each other. And so I don't know if it was because, you know, I was married into the family, or if it was because I was a pastor that they'd let me get away with that, but I used to have fun with that. And it is fun when someone else is in the doghouse instead of you. I think you all kind of know what I mean there. But anyway, I don't want to spend all of our time here focusing on what brought us into the doghouse, but rather, how do we get out? How do we get out of that doghouse? How do we get out of that time of disfavor that we're experiencing, that we might move back to a place of favor? And if somebody's elbowing you right now, that means you're supposed to be paying attention. That's what they're telling you right now. So if you're wanting to know how to change your situation, I hope nobody had a fight coming in this morning, coming to your church. But God has some things to say about how to get out of that doghouse, because God's very interested in our relationships. And he gives us key ways that will help us to get out from underneath this disfavor in our relationships and get back into a position and a place of favor. So I just want to talk to you and provide a few solutions that will help you this morning out of that place of disfavor. And when we're done, maybe you might want to be, you know, reposting this to some friends of yours that you know maybe are going through such a time as this. Now, one of the very first things you need to do when you're in the doghouse is something that's very practical, very much needed, and it's also something that's very biblical. When there are things that have affected your relationship, whether it's in your marriage, your family, your friendships, that have gotten you in the doghouse, saying you're sorry makes a huge difference. And that's a great place to start, to say, I'm sorry. Now, when you say you're sorry, you need to mean it. You know, too often we just say the word sorry, you know, to get out of the problem quickly when we're not really sorry for what we just said or did. And we just say it because we're hoping to restore the relationship and the privileges of that relationship. To be truly sorry, one needs to admit that what they have done and what they have said was wrong. We need to confess that. No excuses, no blaming, no trying to justify ourselves, no buts, because we all like to do that, right? We all like to, but, you know, you helped cause this situation, and we like to use those other words. But if you want to get out of the doghouse, you need to come to that place where you simply apologize and you say, I'm sorry. To be sorry is to commit to not do that same hurt or that action that caused the blow up in the first place. To be sorry means you need to be willing to change and that you're going to make a better effort not to repeat the offense again, because that becomes another issue, right? We hear that word, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, you keep doing the same offense over and over again. Well, That needs to stop. So to be sorry actually carries the same thought of repentance, that there is a genuine remorse for what you've caused. You know, words can be cheap, and we need to be ready to demonstrate that we are sorry and repent for what we have done. Sorry enough will not do it unless we're going to make a change and that they see that change in us. So to be sorry means change. You will need to change your behavior. You'll need to cease doing those things or saying those things that are offending the person or hurting the person. So often, you know, sorry loses its power because we keep reoffending. And, you know, we get the reply back that, oh, you always say that. But you just keep redoing these things. So to be sorry, you need to change, which is really what repentance is in God's word. And that when God calls us, that we come to him, that we need to repent of our sins. We need to be sorry for our sins. I think that's one of the issues in our Christianity today, is that we're bypassing that whole area of repentance. We just want to accept Jesus. I love you, Jesus. But that's as far as we go. No, you need to come to that place of repentance that then leads us, that we welcome Jesus into our hearts. The Bible says in Luke 3:8 says, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. And so that applies in life as well, that we need to prove by the way that we're living right now that we are sorry for what has taken place. To be sorry requires proof, a change in behavior, change in talk, and we need to prove it. And as we do that, it does take time. It doesn't happen overnight. So in being sorry, you need to keep that commitment that you are going to change. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience, it leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. So when we're really sorry, you know, there's a regret of what we've done, but we don't mind saying I'm sorry because we really mean it in our hearts. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. And so many times people express a worldly sorrow, that kind of, I was caught, you know, you found out, but I'm not really sorry about it. Well, that's what worldly sorrow is. While God says a sorrow that we really need to have means I am sorry and I'm going to change. Again, we need actions to come alongside our words of sorrow. And so being sorry enough to change and not repeat the hurt or offense that you have caused. So when you say you're sorry, it entails a lot of things. But you really need to mean it. And it's a big step in getting yourself out of the doghouse. And as you think about that, try being the first person to say you're sorry. Most times we wait for the other person to say they're sorry, when if we take that first step, it often leads to that reconciliation. So be quick to say you're sorry. Get you out of the doghouse a whole lot quicker. Then secondly, in getting out of the doghouse, one needs to get back to the priority of loving one another. You know, and sometimes that can just simply start by reminding ourselves that the person that we're at odds with is someone that you actually love and that you care about. So to get back to doing those things that helped you in that relationship, start thinking about those things, that why do you like that person, or why are you in love with that person? And as you think about that, it kind of brings you back to that place, man, what am I doing? What am I doing? I love this person. I'm going to pursue that love and pursue that area. So learning to love one another, learning to appreciate one another, being kind, tender-hearted towards one another. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tender-hearted, keep a humble attitude. So love is something that's beyond feelings. And it does require action. Again, to say, oh, I love you, it really
sometimes means absolutely nothing. Just like, I'm sorry, can mean absolutely nothing unless there's something of action attached to it. John 13, 34, 35 says, Jesus says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And so even Jesus is saying in this whole area of love, there needs to be proof of your love. So just saying I love you, yeah, it can work sometimes, but there needs to be action that comes with it. To love requires proof. To love requires action. So be ready to prove your love. 1 John 3:18 says, dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. And so even back there in those Bible days, it was still at issues. You know, how even at church, how we love you, brother. We love you, sister. And you don't love them at all. You know, you walk out the door and you're saying something bad about them. And so it's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Let us show the truth by our actions. You know, that's right from the Bible itself. To show love, you need actions. So getting back to loving one another and doing those things that prove your love can go a long way in helping you get out of that doghouse. Love is important. It's the number one activity that should be seen in our lives, should be seen in our relationship with others. Love conquers all and brings back the harmony that we desire and that we need. Colossians 3:14, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. So if you're wanting harmony in your relationship, practice love. If you're wanting peace again, practice love. Choose love. Now, interestingly, Jesus points out this principle to us when we fall out of a relationship with him and when we fall out of relationship with other believers. And Jesus speaks to that. He speaks to the church about that in Revelations 2, 4, and 5. And Jesus says these words, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. Now that's really strong advice for us as Christian believers in our relationship with God, that if we're not in the right place with God, to look back in your life and say, yeah, I got to get back there where I was excited, where I was passionate for the things of God. And that helps us to, you know, get back to a proper relationship. But that also works when we think about our marriages, when we think about our relationships with other people, to take some time and think back. Think back to those days where you met each other for the first time. Think back to those times of that early relationship, or even in your marriage. So think back when, you know, that passion that you had for one another. And kind of ask yourself, is it still there? And if it's not there, you need to say, I need to work on this. I need to get back to my first love. I really do. I need to get back to that first love that I have for this individual. And again, so it's something we need to work at. And so as we take some time to work at that and choose to love one another, do those things you did at first in regards, not just to your faith, but to your relationship. And again, it will make a big difference in restoration, getting you out of that doghouse, getting back to doing what you did before when your love was given freely and passionately. Then thirdly, in getting out of the doghouse, take some time for self-evaluation. After all, if you're in the doghouse, you might as well take some time and think about why you're there. I know most times if you're there, you're angry. Maybe you're throwing a tantrum. You know, maybe you're acting childish at that time. And if you are a child or a youth, maybe you're acting as if you were much younger as well. And yet, life is not fair at times. And, you know, maybe you're like, oh, my parents, they took my privileges away. And, you know, we get all upset and mad. And instead of thinking about why we're in the doghouse, we come on back for round two. And then you just made your stay back in doghouse that much longer because you went for round two. And then if you go for round three, well, then it can really get a whole lot longer. If you want to keep complaining about your time in the doghouse, that's how you get to stay there longer. So don't go there. Don't go there. Instead, take the time to really evaluate the situation, examine yourself honestly, and ask yourself, did I say or did I do something that was wrong? And if we have, then we need to own up to it. Own up to our part. And as we do that, you know, don't do the mistake of using the word but, and then we start blaming the other individual. Again, sends you right back to the doghouse. You were just starting to climb out, and then you're right back in there. So take the time to think about what you have done that is wrong. You don't want to stay mad. You don't want to pout, because if you do all those things, then you just make your stay a whole lot longer. So take time to examine yourself, not the other person, but yourself, and ask yourself, you know, what's going on in my life? Am I reacting in a way that I shouldn't be reacting? Am I pleased with my behavior before my spouse or before my children? Or am I pleased with my behavior before other Christians and other believers? Those are some good questions to ask. Are you portraying yourself in a way that is proper before the Lord? As we think of youth and children, you know, the Bible does talk about, yes, obeying your parents. Are we responding to our parents in a proper way? And again, you're in the doghouse, so you may as well take some time to think about it. Don't you often hear those words, go to your room and think about what you've just done? Well, most people don't do that, and that's why you stay there longer. If you go there and think about it, you'll get out there a whole lot quicker. So examination is always good. It's a very strong principle in the Bible, as useful in all situations. Apostle Paul, speaking to young Timothy in ministry, counseled him in this as well. And he said, don't let anyone think less of you because you're young, but as a young person, be an example to all believers in what you say and the way you live, in your love, your faith, your purity. One can think of the psalmist David, who made some major mistakes in his life. Most times he recognized those mistakes and dealt with those mistakes, but sometimes he didn't recognize his mistakes. And so God would send a prophet and bring a rebuke in his life. And David started to learn rather quickly that it's very good to examine yourself. See what's in your heart and ask God to help you when there's things that are in your heart that shouldn't be in your heart, to say, God, I don't want those things there. I want those things out of there. Psalm 51:10, a beautiful little prayer to pray. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Psalm 139, another great prayer to pray. Verses 23, 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So if you're in a doghouse, take some time for some honest evaluation. Think of why you're there. Because, you know, there are some principles out there that are binding. You reap what you sow. And so you might literally be there because it was your fault, or at least partially your fault. But whatever it is, you need to resolve the change, get back to a right spirit, seeking to restore that relationship. And as you do that evaluation correctly, it really will help you get out of the doghouse sooner. Then fourthly, in getting out of the doghouse, one needs to get back to ways of honoring one another, respecting one another, acknowledging one another's contribution in the relationship, speaking blessings over one another, refusing to criticize and tear down one another. And that's a big problem we can fall into, criticizing one another. You know, you can be saying things that are true, but if that's really hurting that person and not dishonoring to that person, we need to back away from those things. Criticism is not a thing that anybody really enjoys. And we need to get back to speaking and doing things that honor one another. Think about those things. How can I honor my spouse? How can I encourage my spouse? How can I encourage her, that person, my wife or my husband? How can I encourage that friend of mine? How can I encourage that family member of mine? Because it's very easy for all of us to criticize, to complain, or retaliate, sometimes even to curse one another. And the Bible speaks about that we shouldn't be cursing one another. Rather, we need to be speaking blessings over one another. Romans 12:10 says, love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. So honoring one another really should be something that we want to do and that we enjoy to do. The Bible says, take delight in honoring that individual. Again, a choice, choosing that you're going to get back to that place where I'm going to honor this individual, not criticize them. And that's something that's very important. If we start practicing those things, you're going to get out of that doghouse a whole lot sooner. You know, for those that are young people and children here today, Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you're going to have a long life on the earth. Man, that sounds like a great idea. If I want to live a long life, it starts by my relationship with my mom and my dad. And we need to honor them. Seek ways to honor them. Now, I realize there can be terrible things that happen in families, and that's a whole other area. But we're talking here from, if you're brought up in that good home, that to honor them. Because good parents have your best interest in mind. You may not think that at the time, but they really do. They have your best interest in mind. They want you to succeed. They want you to do well in life. And so if there's discipline that comes your way, or you know, you get sent to the doghouse because of something that you did, you need to realize that they're doing this actually for your good. So it's good to honor your parents. For us and those of us who are married here today, Hebrews 3:13-4 says, give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. You know, again, going back to marriage, respecting one another, acknowledging one another, encouraging one another, be faithful to one another. You need to work on your marriage. And that does take work. We all need to do that. And as we do those things, it's going to help us in a marriage to get back to a place of favor. And it'll help you get out of that doghouse a whole lot sooner and help you to stay out of the doghouse when you start choosing to honor your spouse, honor one another over others. It's going to be a great way and reap great benefits. And then lastly for today, and getting out of the doghouse is forgive. Give up resentment. Give up your anger. Choose to pardon. Choose to forgive that individual. You know, forgiveness starts with you. And it can easily spread to the other person. But it begins with you. You know, sometimes we forgive a person and we expect them to say it right back to us. Sometimes that don't work. Sometimes they don't want to forgive you. Your job is to forgive. Whether they forgive you or not, that's their problem. They'll give an answer for that. But it starts that we make a choice to forgive. And often when we do forgive, usually it's reciprocal, that it happens both ways. So choosing to forgive is another great way towards restoration. Ephesians 4:31-32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So you don't want to stay in anger, bitterness, lashing out at one another. That only makes your doghouse term a whole lot longer. That can be very destructive to your relationship. We need to choose instead to allow the Lord to work in our hearts and allow the tenderness that is inside of us to arise and come to that place where we choose to forgive. Kindness and tenderness often turns away wrath. And so look to God to help you, that he might strengthen you, that you might be able to come to that place to forgive, to extend grace, mercy, because it's always appreciated when you do. And if we are Christians, there should be that willingness to go above and beyond and choose to do so. Colossians 3:13 says, make allowances for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And that's a great incentive. When we start to think about how God has forgiven us, God does not treat us, the Bible says, as our sins deserve. He doesn't treat us like we all deserve. But he's also telling us, as you think about that, I want you to apply that in your relationships. Try forgiveness. Powerful tool to restore relationships, and it definitely frees you from the doghouse. May I add, it's also a beautiful thing to see as people forgive one another and then watch how that relationship prospers again. So take a step, try forgiveness. And if you help with that, you just ask the Lord, Lord, I need help. Be honest. Say, God, I need help. I'm struggling in this area. And he will help you to step out and forgive. Now, we could go on and talk about all kinds of other things that we can do to get ourselves out of that so-called doghouse, that place of temporary disfavor. But I hope you see that God wants to help us in this regard. There is somebody that wants to come alongside us and help us in all of our relationships, whether they're a time of great where things are wonderful or whether times are bad and difficult. God still wants to be with us. He wants to help us in our relationships. And in God's word, you'll see much counsel that if applied will save us all a whole lot of heartache. So God cares about our relationships, from our marriages to our families to our relationships with other people to our youth to children. He's concerned about all those things. He's a God that wants to help us and will help us. And he desires to see relationships restored. He is in the business of restoring and healing relationships. He is famous for that. So maybe we look to him and follow his advice. You know, maybe, you know, you may be watching today, or maybe you're even here today and you've been going through some real heavy things in your life. And you've been struggling in a lot of areas of relationships. And maybe you're kind of thinking, my relationship is done or it's over. Well, maybe you should start thinking about these principles here. Maybe you should be that first person to say you're sorry and mean it. Maybe you should be that person that takes that step to say, I'm going to choose to love you and start doing those things that I used to do before to show you that I did love you and I did appreciate you. Maybe to be that person to, you know, honestly do some evaluation and look at yourself to see that maybe there's some truth to some of the things that are going on. Get back to that place where we honor one another, love one another, and where we pursue forgiveness. It really is a way to get out of the doghouse of disfavor and back to a place of favor and harmony in our relationships. Friends, there's a lot of things happening in relationships today in our world. It really is. And we need to apply these things and look to God because God wants to help us. So many people don't look to God and they miss the opportunity that God wants to help us. I close with 1 Peter 3:8 and 9. We read that at the beginning. It says, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted. Keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. And said, pay them back with a blessing. That's what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. So as you start taking those steps to do the things that you know God is calling you to do, not only can your relationship be restored, but the blessing of God and the favor of God can also fall on you. So that's what we're called to do. This was just something that, you know, was on my heart of late, and that just wanted to share these truths with you, because God doesn't want to live for you to keep living in a house of disfavor. Doesn't want you in any kind of doghouse, any slang doghouse. He wants you in a place of favor, where you enjoy one another, where you love one another, where you enjoy that relationship. And so I really hope that this here is a helpful to you, and that it encourages you in relationships, and that maybe it's a message that you can share with others that you know are struggling in their relationships right now, that this could be a blessing to them. And so we're going to just close with a word of prayer here this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are with us. I thank you that you care about us and you love us. And Lord, when we make mistakes, when we get in that place of disfavor and that place of a doghouse, I thank you, Lord, that even there, we're not alone, because you go with us. You're right there with us. We're not alone. You're right there wanting to help us. You're right there wanting to counsel us. You're right there wanting to give us direction. And I thank you, Lord, that you are willing to help us even when we make mistakes and even when we do stupid things. You're still there. You're still with us. You still want to help us. You still want to bring us back to that place where we might experience favor. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help all of us in our relationships, whether it be in our marriage or whether it be with our family members, whether it be with brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, friends, children, young people, whatever it might be. I pray that, Lord, that you're going to help us and you're going to strengthen us. And Lord, I also pray, and Lord, I prophesy this morning that this church shall be a place where we see relationships restored, where we see marriages restored, where we see families restored, where we see people restored in Jesus' name. Because, Lord, that's what you called us to do. And, Lord, I know we have a number of people here that are reaching out to their neighbors. They're reaching out to their friends. And, Lord, that's what we're supposed to do. But, Lord, it is going to result in a place where people can come and be restored, be encouraged, being strengthened, and that, Lord, what they'll find, they're going to get out of their doghouse, and they're going to come into a place of favor. And so, Lord, we just speak that here today. We just declare that here today. We declare that over your people that are gathered here this morning, that, Lord Jesus, that they're going to come out of those places of disfavor and come into a place of new favor, not just with you, but, Lord, in their relationships, and with other people here. And so, Lord, I thank you that you are the God who restores relationships. You are the God who intervenes in relationship. You are the God that makes our relationships the best that they can be. And I pray that over each and every person here, Lord, that our relationships will begin to increase and grow stronger than ever before, and that we'll all come to that place of favor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.